He said that we cannot do that.
Okay, Mr. Mendoza, I believe this is a rotation, so who is Mr. Mendoza? I do not know what Mr. Mendoza.
Who are you?
You?
I do.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Leon will conduct your hearing. I believe that you're here for a revocation. Am I correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Leon will conduct your hearing at this time, sir. Just give him a moment to give his paperwork.
Okay, sorry about that, sir. Can you hear me out there?
Yeah.
Okay, you were appearing before the Illinois Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your supervisor's revocation. For the record, would you please state your full name and ABC number?
Vicente Miguel Mendoza, 316310.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to introduce the board members who will conduct a hearing at this time. And if you look at the screen, to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Then in the center is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. All the way to the right is the Honorable Louis Canales. My name is David Neal. I'll be a hearing lead this morning. Also in the room with us today, we have the Honorable Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. So prior to the hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. You remember that form?
No.
Okay, it was a form that told you that the hearing was today. Also, it talks about some of your rights. And you signed it on, it looks like you signed it on the 3rd of January this year. Okay, all right. So on that form, you're notified of the right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
Representing myself.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear you with Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes.
I do, and at this time, I'd like to department of my request to make an amendment to page number warrant in the exhibit section at the bottom of your lab report. There was a typo. The correct date should be December
18th, 2018. Thank you, sir. Did you understand that, Mr. Mendoza? They just changed the date of one of the things on your warrant. Okay?
All right.
All right, so today you're here to be conducted in two phases, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your, community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the 5 allegations that are on your warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask if it's true, false, or if you wish to plead the Fifth Amendment. The reason for that is that we see a police report number listed on the warrant, which indicates there may be some pending charges. This is a recorded hearing and it's public information, so anything you say today could be picked up and used against you in a court of law. So we afford you the opportunity not to incriminate yourself, okay? Okay. So, allegation number one is the violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of possession of methamphetamine on or about December 19, 2018. Is that true, false, or you wish to plead the Fifth, sir?
I mean, I was using, but I didn't have it on me.
What are
the chances that I have possession of it?
Okay, it says demonstrated by your use, possession of methamphetamine on or about December 19, 2018.
Yeah.
So you were using it? Is that true? Okay. Allegation number two is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of heroin on or about December 5th, 2018, per the TAS GCMS lab report dated December 18th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
All right. Violation number three is a violation of Arizona Traditional Superintendent number seven, as demonstrated by your possession of heroin on or about December 19th, 2018. Is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
True.
All right. Allegation number four is a violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about December 5th, 2018, per the TAS GCMS lab report dated December 13th, 2018. Is that true or false? You wish to plead the fifth, sir?
True.
Okay. Allegation number five is a violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number six, as demonstrated by your being in possession and control of a firearm on or about December 19, 2018 at 1865 Airfield Avenue, Kingman, Arizona. But true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
False.
It's false? Okay. All right, so since you say allegation number five is false, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us the details of that allegation, please.
On December 19th, 2018, defendant arrived at Kingman Parole for staffing for heroin and methamphetamine use. Defendant was observed exiting a tan in color Chevy Tahoe SUV upon his arrival to the Kingman Parole Office. A search was conducted in the vehicle. Upon searching the vehicle, P.O. Brazil located in plain view, three pills later to be identified as Xanax, a plastic pipe commonly used to smoke heroin in the center console between the driver and passenger seat. Unit Supervisor Clark was immediately notified to call Kingman Police Department. Upon further search of the vehicle, P.O. Espinoza later searched the glove compartment, located a black tar substance with a strong odor of vinegar, and was later identified by Kingman Police as black tar heroin and another plastic pipe commonly used to smoke heroin. P.O. Brazil searched the front passenger seat floorboard area and located a silver Kimber 45 caliber handgun in plain view, partially sitting inside a burgundy purse. A further search inside the middle of the purse by P.O. Brazil was two glass pipes commonly used to smoke methamphetamine. Inside the side pocket of the purse, halfway in the purse and partially sticking out of the purse, was a clear bag with a white crystal substance identified as methamphetamine by Kingman Police. P.O. Brazil also observed an included in the passenger seat another two Xanax pills identified by Kingman Police. The driver of the vehicle, Zomo Magos, stated to police, Kingman Police, that the methamphetamine, heroin, Xanax pills, and all drug paraphernalia belonged to her. She was arrested by Kingman Police. Officer stated, the offender stated to Kingman Police he did not know anything about the vehicle. The offender was not charged on scene for Kingman Police on all charges. All charges will be submitted to county attorney. All evidence was photographed and turned over to Kingman Police Department for processing. Unit Supervisor Clark interviewed offender Mejia Mendoza. He said he did not want to talk to Kingman Police about the black tar heroin he believed weighed half a gram in weight. The crystal meth that he believed was a total of 3.5 grams, and they belonged to him. Offender stated he sells the methamphetamine for an 8-ball meth for $75, and a half gram of heroin sells for $50. The defendant stated the weapon did not belong to him, it belonged to Zoma Magos. The defendant stated the gun was bought for $100. The defendant stated he last used the heroin that was found in the glove compartment of the Circle K convenience store just a block away from Kingman Parole Office. Minutes prior to arriving at the parole office. All evidence was photographed and turned over to Kingman Police Department for processing. On December 19, 2018, while the offender was being taken into custody by Kingman Parole staff, the offender's cell phone was searched by P.O. Brazil. Inside the offender's cell phone was a picture of the offender holding a handgun that was the exact same type of weapon with the same color and marking. The offender's cell phone had text messages from various parties with detailed drug transitions. The defender's cell phone was seized by DPS gang task force Detective Carlos for further investigation.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Mendoza, what's false about that allegation?
I mean, I didn't have possession of a gun.
Okay, then the allegation is that you were in possession of a handgun. Okay? I mean, that cuts to the chase, you're in possession of a handgun. Now, the gun that was in the vehicle was in a purse that was claimed by the driver, and the driver said the gun was hers. But your cell phone had a picture of you holding a similar gun. May not have been exactly the same one, but it was very similar. But you wrote you, the picture was of you holding a gun. Has that picture been photoshopped to make you hold that gun, or were you holding a gun when you got that picture?
No, I'm holding.
Okay, so the part you were saying is false is because the gun, you were thinking it's the gun that was in the car that we were trying to pin on you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to move this forward to phase two now. So, based on all the information work 2018W3682, the first four allegations were by admission of Mr. Mendoza, and the fifth one was by the information in the warrant and our discussion. Now, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Mendoza was delinquent as he violated term condition of supervision, and that he may have lapsed and not lapsed in criminal ways for company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself. Who seconded it, Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Moved by Dr. Wright and Mr. Kilmes. All right, so we're going to move into phase two at the moment, but before we do, Mr. Westby's going to give us some background information, so stay on the phone and I'll get back with you in a couple.
Mr. Mendoza was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on May 17, 2018. He was arrested December 19, 2018 by ADC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody December 20, 2018, with a projected community supervision end date of March 15, 2019, 0 absconding. Current conviction, 2017, burglary, second degree, 2.5 years. 2017, theft, 9 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 2-2, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrest, 2006, controlled substance violation, Arizona, juvenile probation. All other arrests on record resulted in charges that were dismissed. His community risk score is a G1, B3.
Do you have any information about any pending charges or anything?
That's what I was looking for. I didn't see anything either on the Corona notes or their names. So okay. I don't know if charges are pending.
If Tucson is going to file it, who knows how long it will take to get to the process. Okay. Thank you, sir. Alright, so Mr. Mendoza, we're going to go move on to this and we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision. So it seems like you had permission to get out to stay with Rosario Anaya in Bullhead City. What relation is Rosario to you, sir?
She's my kid's grandma.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just curious. And there was no other place that was approved for you. So did you stay there the whole time you were out, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Then, let's see, did you have any employment?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was looking at Arizona Pipeline.
Arizona Pipeline?
Yeah, the concrete and asphalt.
Okay. More that work going on, I assume. So you stay employed pretty much the whole time you're out?
Yes.
Okay. So now for programming, it looks like you referred to Sage Counseling for Substance Abuse Counseling. And you completed both classes on August 23rd, 2018. Apparently, they didn't help you much.
No, I should have kept going or something. I don't know, started
having something for it. Okay, well, you had times when you were okay, so, you know, you were assigned to task labs for random UAs, and you had June, July, you had two on this, September, and October, they were all negative. And then December, you had a positive for amphetamines and opiates. And on 12-13, they did a GCMS on that sample and it came back positive morphine, methamphetamine, and heroin. So you did good for about 6 months and then you relapsed. What happened to make you relapse, sir?
I don't know, it was just...
Okay.
Just, excuse
me. Okay. So, so you were staffed about all that, but with all that going on, and then they, with that gun, they, that's when you went back into custody. So, why, there's a picture of you holding a gun. What were you doing? Why are you out there holding a gun when you know you're a prohibited possessor? Is that gang related?
No, it's just, I didn't really think about it. We went out shooting over the town. Onto the desert, that's all.
Okay. Well, the reason I say gang related is because it said in the allegation that your phone was confiscated by the drug pack or the gang task force. So I mean, to me, that would indicate somewhere along the line the things you were doing indicated to the old staff and the gang task force that you might be getting into some gang activity. That's not true?
No, I'm just a drug addict.
Okay, I'll see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Seeing no questions from my fellow board members. Or are you?
I would like to speak.
Okay. Well, hey, I'll let you go ahead and speak before he gives his final statement.
Okay.
That's what I've moved into his final statement. So, okay, we'll step up to the podium and state your name and tell
us. Thank you, board members. My name is Donna Hamm with Milgram Prison Reform. For the record, I would just like to clarify, because I'm not sure that a lot of inmates understand this, but forget about the picture of Mr. Mendoza, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, with the gun. We don't even know what date that picture was taken, but the fact that the girl with the purse had a gun in her purse meant that he was in constructive possession of a weapon, which is also illegal for a prohibited possessor. So he needs to understand in the future he can't be in a car with someone who has a gun in their possession. Maybe it would be a defense if it was in a locked box and the girl had the only key or something, but he can't live in a house with someone that has a gun, because that's also constructive possession. So it really doesn't matter that the cell phone had a picture of him. I mean, I think that's pretty damning, and he's already admitted to you, of course, under oath, that he actually used that gun to go target shooting or whatever. So that clearly puts him in possession of a weapon, but constructive possession is also something that is a felony and covered under the prohibited possessor statutes. And I'd just like for him to know that for his future use, because he will always be a prohibited possessor unless he has his gun rights formally restored by the court. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Any questions? Okay, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing, and you do need to remember what Ms. Hamm was talking about. But anyway, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will discuss and make a determination, sir. But before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement, tell us anything else you think might be important for our decision. We just ask that you repeat all the information we've discussed so far. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us, sir?
No.
Okay, thank you, sir. We're going to be joining the discussion now. You may think that we'll be talking amongst ourselves and make a decision. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So stay on the phone, though, and remain silent. You can hear the entire conversation. Once we make a determination, I'll be back with you. Okay, sir?
All right.
Now, we're down, Mr. President. Well, Mr. Mendoza relapsed, and probably more days than one in December. He was doing pretty good with his drugs. I don't know what he was doing for the rest of his life, but he wasn't getting in trouble until he relapsed with the drugs. But with the amount of drug use, the type of drugs, everything at the end, and the association with the situation, I should say, with the handgun in the car that he was driving in, or riding in, and the picture of him holding the gun, all that is very, very troublesome, and I don't see him as a good candidate for return to supervision right now, but he's only got about a month and a half left, and then he'll be free of Department of Corrections as long as he can behave himself. And I'm going to listen to the discussion from my fellow board members of prison. Discussion. So based on all the information in warrant number 2018W3682, Mr. Mejas Mendoza's testimony and the information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to revoke community supervision of Mr. Mendoza. He was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second. Agree.
Agree. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canales. Agree. Mr. Johnson, Dr. Wright. So the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. Only about a month and a half left on your sentence, and with your release, you won't have to worry about the Department of Correction, but you will still have to worry about being a prohibited possessor. And take great note at what Ms. Hamm was saying, because that is the truth. If you're standing next to somebody who's got a gun and trouble happens, you're going to be in trouble too, because you could get a hold of it. You're not supposed to be associated with people that are criminals, or you know, people that you know are committing violations of the law. So we do wish you the best of luck. We hope that we don't see you back in here. But that's up to you. You got to behave yourself when you're done. Okay, you understand?
Yeah.
All right, just when you're hearing, sir, just lay the phone down there, please.
Okay.